Welcome back.
Welcome back.
It's been way too long since we've come at you.
Coming at you hard.
But welcome back to Second Take Disputed, episode 58. God damn, I think we did episode 57 probably a year ago. It's been a long time.
It's been a real long time.
But it's your boy, Shorter in Person, here with my man, Handsome Shrek.
What's up?
And we knew we had to get in here today to talk about Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 57?
Seven? I think it was seven.
Yeah, 57, something like that. Whatever. But Handsome Shrek accosted me in the hallway. He was all fired up to talk about what happened at the end of the game yesterday.
I tell you what. There's one thing I'm extremely grateful for, and I'll always be grateful for these two facts.
All right.
There are two Super Bowls in my lifetime that I am relieved I'm not the fan of the team that was affected by these Super Bowls. Number one, taking you all the way back to the days of Shaun Alexander, and when Seattle cheated and won a Super Bowl against your team, Pittsburgh Steelers. And it must be a Pennsylvania thing, because last night, Philadelphia was robbed.
Oh, man.
And the fix is in. It's not even just the referees either. The fix was in.
Oh, you got the whole NFL?
The whole game. It could be the whole NFL. It could be the team colluding with the NFL to make sure that one team had an unfair advantage.
Well, let's get some facts in here. Give me facts. Why do you feel this way, Handsome Shrek?
Well, first,
let the record show that I do not feel this way.
Well, objectively, I think you have to agree that Seattle, when they beat Pittsburgh,
going back there.
First, we got to set the baseline.
We got to set it.
That was, and you can't find it. It's barely talked about on YouTube, anywhere on the internet. They want that Super Bowl to be forgotten about, because that was a stolen, cheated Super Bowl. Someone in Vegas made a lot of money, or Vegas itself made a lot of money.
I'm sure.
But, so that's the baseline.
Okay.
We all know they cheat. We all know, hey, Shoeless Joe Jackson, anyone? We all know that
the Black Sox scandal. Now we're going back to the 1900s.
Hey, Deflategate. Things happen. But, well, one, the sorriest person to come out of the whole thing of yesterday was that defensive back for Philly. What's his name?
Agreed that he actually did it.
It's like, let's get one thing straight. For any of you non-football fans out there, there is a penalty on every player, every play. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to call it.
Okay, so that one was called, and he said he actually did it.
And you go,
so why can you now come back and say that, hey, the fix was in? Was he a part of the fix? That was James Bradbury, by the way. Was he in on it?
I'm sure he got some nice little.
Oh my gosh! Now you're saying,
hey, look, there's one thing that he made that statement for one reason only. They went to him and said, hey, a lot of people are going to die in Philly tonight.
Oh,
try to curtail some of these riots and say, yeah, I did hold.
Well, he did hold, and he actually turned the receiver as well.
A Super Bowl should never be ended on a subjective call.
Well, it wasn't ended on a subjective call. And like you said, if there's a penalty on every play, every down, then aren't they all subjective?
And it was all subjectively weighted one way.
Do you really think so? So let's take into account the catch earlier in that quarter. Or was that third quarter?
It was the end of the half. The catch that was overturned?
No, not that one. I'm talking about the catch where Goddard
made the catch.
So, but you call that a catch. But it was reviewed.
It was reviewed. Which good for them. They can review it.
Good for them.
But hey, referees, hold on. Hurry up and make some substitution, like dead play. Give them a chance to see if they want to review it.
Oh, okay, so you're going there. So let's talk about the other one where the little swing pass out of the backfield, and they say that wasn't a catch when he got rocked. fumbled another return for touchdown. So that one wasn't a catch. That's what we're saying?
Me, personally, I would have allowed that one to be a catch had you let the end of the first half be a catch. I think
so. You just want them all to be catches?
No, that was borderline, but you can't. At that point, that was a call that, because again, subjective.
A subjective call.
It's a subjective call. All subjective. And they can't subjectively, continuously screw the entire Super Bowl one way.
But you already said the fix was in the whole time.
And this
you can't have it both ways, my friend.
This is where the fix was in.
Oh.
There's only one team that was playing on ice out there.
Oh, now you got the field. The field was a part of it too.
There's a pile of cleats shown.
There was a pile of cleats.
So a lot of people, again, non-football fans out there that only watch it here and there. What you saw when people were probably going, oh man, Philly's blowing it defensively. There's two completely blown plays where a guy's wide open and walks in. There's no one defending him and they just toss him the ball. Both of those plays.
Great play calls, by the way.
Both of those plays, well, great play calls utilizing your advantage, which is the field. If you go and watch those plays.
Are you saying
you go and watch those plays?
Kansas City had special cleats just made for the field.
You can call it special cleats. You can call it a spray on the bottom of their cleats.
Oh my god!
I don't give a shit.
Stick them on the bottom of the cleats.
Stick them on the bottom of the cleats. There's only one team that was slipping around that entire time, and
both teams were slipping, sir. Come on. don't let facts get in the way of your argument. I apologize.
The only time I seen any player from Kansas City slip was during a Penchenko when he was trying to celebrate. That was the only time. He was like, oh, shit, I forgot.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get another one of those high ankle sprains.
Yeah, I thought, well, and don't even get me started on the fake high ankle sprain story.
Oh, my gosh, now it's fake. Now it's fake. He never had an injury, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying his injury was already recovered, but he wants to be seen as an Iron Man.
Ah.
Like, oh, my God, I played through so much pain. Shut up. You just scramble for 30 yards outrunning some of the fastest people.
That was actually pretty funny.
And then he gets up and goes, ah, ooh, my ankle. I forgot, guys. It hurts. So you either have to go under the assumption that it is a high ankle sprain and they dope the hell out of him.
I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Or
maybe he just taped it and wrapped it up. And then what they were saying about Lamar at the end of the season,
just wrap it up.
And go out there and play.
But going back to those two plays, which look like broken plays, you go and you watch the replays, and it's like, how does that happen? And they go, the first one, it looks like, hey, he tried to pass him off.
Right.
And it the pass-off never happened because he didn't get the single off quick enough. Sure, you can say that. But the reason why the pass-offs had to happen with these jet sweep type motions is because the defensive back or safety, whoever was covering, could not make a cut without slipping. So he has to commit to meet him on the other side of the field, otherwise it's a walk in the other way. So it has to be played where he has to overcommit, and he's all for it. And when you watch the second time, because the second time it was clear as day, where he didn't try to pass him off because it was, I need to get right over right there. And that's where Kansas City utilized their advantage. Hey, they're slipping, we're not. we're gonna go ahead and put the guy in motion, hard stop, cut back. And even if the guy tries to cut back, he's going to fall on his ass anyway. Kelce wide open in the middle. What was happening the whole time? It was hard cuts that the linebacker was slipping all over the place.
They were also great plays, great passes, great catches, all that.
I've never seen a Super Bowl more so than any other Super Bowl that I've ever seen. Maybe Atlanta, that was so heavily dominated by one team. And the score didn't reflect it.
I mean, at the end of the day, it was a great game. We can agree to that.
Great game means it has to be the whole body work. To me, if you're going to let the field conditions be a thing, you can argue that both teams play on the field, but they try to offer the excuse, well, Kansas City played here earlier in the season, and that's why they're prepared for this.
It was a brand new turf just installed last week,
and they painted it too,
which they always do.
Not with whatever, like,
so they had special screw filling.
That's what the commentators were saying. Like, they were like, I don't understand why they go out here and they had to paint, like, they paint logos typically.
Right.
Apparently, they painted the whole field, so the green popped better, everything was painted. So, whatever the hell they did to that field, one team was ready for it, the other team was not.
Well, whose fault is that? You can't put that as a conspiracy if you're saying that one team was ready and the other one wasn't.
One team's ready to play on ice and the other one's not. Oh, one team brought their skates and the other team didn't.
Should have brought your skates. What are you gonna do?
So it's just you don't ever want to be on the big stage and have officiating be a determinant factor.
I think officiating is always gonna be a determining factor, no matter what game, what sport.
True, but
it's always going to be there,
but you don't want
how you see it,
but you don't, it's always going to be there, but you never, what you want to allow to happen would be, you want, if it's a mistake, the other team has time to, hey, you had another opportunity,
right? But it wasn't a mistake, it was a legit call. What most people are saying is that it shouldn't have been called at that time. It's the end of the game. The game shouldn't come down to that, which is fine. But listen, there was no guarantee either way. So let's take it the other way.
Yep.
Let's say that call isn't made.
Fourth down.
It now goes to fourth down, and now, you know, it's probably a field goal or what have you. And then let's say the Eagles get the ball. They come down and score a touchdown. They win the game. Then you have people on the other side saying, oh, wait, that shouldn't have happened because that was a holding penalty right there. It should have been called.
This is where it comes down to it. It's consistency within the calls. You establish what calls are going to be made throughout the game.
All calls should be made throughout the game.
Agreed.
So you can't.
But if you're going to let them play, if you're going to let them play for 3 quarters and 12 minutes.
Well, who said they let them play? Was there any egregious non-calls?
How many holding calls were made in that game?
I don't have the stats in front of me. I know there was one.
There was one.
So by the same token, you know, if you look at it, you could say, I look at it like, you know, where the ball landed may not have been a completed pass. So perhaps Bradbury should not have grabbed him. And then we're talking about something totally different. You know, oh, damn, that was almost a great play, but it didn't happen. They said, I kicked the field goal anyway, right? So you just never know how things are going to play out. Now, when it came down to it, they only had a few seconds left, 8 seconds, I think, after he kicked the field goal. You ain't coming back from that. And that last throw was actually pretty fucking funny, to be honest with you.
Again, that goes back to field conditions.
Yeah.
I rewound it. It's hard to see, but I'm pretty sure he slipped on the throw.
No doubt, yeah.
So, again.
And he was the first one to change cleats. So.
Yeah. Now, granted.
So they probably fucked the field up again at halftime.
Well, did you see them all out there trying to, like, they had 40 people trying to pick up after halftime.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's just, ugh. So, it's, the fix was in.
Oh, you're back to that.
Yeah, the fix is in.
I can't convince you otherwise.
Nope, absolutely not. One quarterback deserved to win that game, and it was not Pat Mahomes.
You know, I say that Hurts should have been MVP even then.
Regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy tied TD for the Super Bowl rushing record.
Yeah. That's only happened one time in the Super Bowl era where an MVP has come from the losing team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he should have been the second one, you know.
But
the fix was in.
The fix was in. The fix
to give Mahomes his MVP.
Well, no, it's not to give him his MVP. It's the passing of the torch to the new generation of quarterbacks. And hey, we had a Tom Brady who has 5 or 6 Super Bowls, whatever the hell he has.
Seven.
Yeah. Seven Super
Bowls. I hate that I know that.
Will never be touched. A record that will never be touched. Oh, well, hey, Pat Mahomes, we'll give you a second one real quick. So you at least are in a conversation of, hey, he might do it if he can stay healthy for another 15 years.
Yeah, that's the key, you know.
Which, I mean, you know, pure Iron Man. He's out there with a high ankle sprain.
Ankle sprain.
Sprinting.
Yeah.
A 4.24
Yeah.
High
yeah.
ankle sprain.
Yeah. No one saw it coming. So
no.
it was quite a great surprise there.
Now, well, you know, don't you know Andrew was like, hey, we're going to act like you have a high ankle sprain because we're that brilliant on offense.
We're that brilliant.
It's our trickeration.
With all new receivers this year and starting running back out.
All their trick plays, man. Yeah. Well, I will say this. Pinchenko was the only reason why they were there.
He played very well his rookie season. So
yeah,
yes.
he was like, that kid is...
I could actually see him being the starter next year. And
well, he should be.
Edwards also, there, gone.
Yeah. But, no, what a fix. But going back to the original point, thank God. I'm more relieved than anything that I'm not a Philly fan.
Oh, yes.
Because, if I'm sorry, whoever's listening as a Philly fan, if I were you...
Well, that used to disappointment anyway.
I wouldn't sleep for another 3 months. I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Because in the last 3 months, they've lost 3 championships? Is that what you're going with?
Oh, yes. Oh, I love it.
The Phillies, the Union, and now the Eagles. Oh, that's in the last 99 days, by the way.
What are they doing in basketball?
They trashed.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man.
Hey, listen. We're just bringing the truth and the news. Don't hold it against us. Don't kill the messenger.
Hey, I'm just happy I'm not you.
Yeah, that.
Fact.
Well, at least we were in it. At least we were there.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah, it's worse to be there when you should win, and it was taken from you.
Well, the other thing about the Eagles, you know, going forward, if you look at it, it's going to be tough. That Super Bowl loss hangover is tough to start, as you can see from the Bengals this past season. And they're also going to be losing both coordinators.
Yeah, I was going to say, their offense coordinator is going to be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, and they're looking at the defensive coordinator as well. Moving on, so that's going to be tough to replace those guys. I think they already have the offensive coordinator. I think the quarterback coach is now going to move up to be the offensive coordinator, which is good.
They
for
play
consistency, but
they play the most. I would call it the best adaptation of the Madden offense. It's like pun? No, I'm not pun.
No, fourth down, we're going for it. And I mean, damn, if it's weird that. That formation that they come out with for their, you know, their short yardage.
Their sneak?
It's like rugby. It's like old school rugby. Everybody's offsides on that thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in a neutral zone. So how is it even possible to run that, you know? How is everyone not offsides? They called it the one time.
Yeah, they were whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then that was moved on another play. Eagles actually had movement on that. But, you know, I don't know. There's really no way to stop that thing.
Not when you have a quarterback who knows what he's doing, too.
Right. And you get the push coming on the back end, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't have, for all you Ravens fans out there.
I know where you're going.
You don't have a non-intelligent type of quarterback sneak in a formation where you don't need to stick the ball out.
Right. Well, especially from the 3 yard line, you don't want to.
Yeah, just get underneath and push forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's like you're not spread. Yeah. Otherwise, spread them out, then do it.
Right. That was weird.
But yeah. Regardless.
Yes. Yes.
But last football topic, at least we know now that it sounds like Lamar is going to be franchise tag and traded.
You think that's what's going to happen?
I do. I think they're going to franchise tag him, and there's a lot of teams that are just frothing at the mouth to get him.
I agree that there would be a lot of teams that would be willing to take him on. But I'm not sure how all that works out with Ravens salary cap and what have you, because by signing him, how does that affect the salary cap? Because that's what it always comes down to. Although we know the salary cap is bullshit and it's funny money and it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of fans just like to talk about salary cap when it comes to paying the players. But I think, in my opinion, you know, not being, I like the Ravens because they are from Baltimore and that's where I'm from. But as we all know, what my team is, we ain't gonna talk about it right now. We'll save that for another podcast. But in my opinion, the Ravens will be fools to let him go. You know, what are you gonna have coming in that is gonna get you to where you want to be? Keeping in mind that Burrow's not going anywhere. Looks like the Steelers have a decent quarterback going forward.
No, Burrow's gonna be, he's the real deal.
And the Browns, I mean, they're still the Browns, but they have Watson now, and they have a pretty decent running game. And they actually beat the Ravens at the end of the season. So, you know, going forward, you don't want to be looking up at the rest of the division, you know.
Sometimes you got to rebuild, though.
Well, they'd be in a straight-up rebuilding phase. But how long is that going to last? I mean, it sounds good, but you've been around here for the last rebuild or the last, did they do it? I think they did it twice since they've come to Charm City, and it ain't pretty.
But I mean,
Harbaugh's also been around for a long time, so you come back and you get two losing seasons and no playoffs, he'd be gone.
Yeah, it's time for him to go anyway.
So then you'd be in a full on rebuild.
I'm fine with that.
While the other teams in your division are still great.
Yeah.
How can you say you're fine with that? You would not be fine with that.
I'm fine if we're still sitting here in
2026 and they had three straight losing seasons, come on.
If I were to GM the Ravens, mm-hmm. and they handed me a team and said full gut rebuild, I would immediately go against the grain, and this whole shift to be smaller, faster, pass, spread them out, and I will get the fattest bastards imaginable and strongest guys on my line, pay whatever I can to get them, bring back the fullback position, a true fullback position, and I would remember the Titans, the fucking league.
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
We are going to run three plays, and they're going to be perfect every time, and you're not going to be able to stop
it. That's what they do now.
But they half-ass it. They, like, it's, you go all in, and if you're stronger than these other teams, they don't have the strength anymore.
Well, still, if you look at it right now, the way the team is made up, they are not that far away. Let's not forget, the last two seasons before Lamar got hurt, they were in first place.
Mm-hmm.
I think not 2022, but in 2021, they were in first place in the whole fucking NFL, mm-hmm. before he got hurt. And then they've gone out and gotten better when they brought in Roquan Smith. And they had some issues on the back end, and I think they got cleared up with the rookie safety who ended up coming down and playing a lot of nickel defense. Got a lot of that cleared up. But then, you know, the offense went back to looking like the 2000 Ravens offense, with not scoring touchdowns and shit like that. 30 for 30 was great, by the way. We'll talk about that another time. So the team's not that far away right this second as it's constructed. So they're going to have some issues this offseason. Aside from the quarterback, that they're probably going to get rid of the corner. Not Humphrey, mm-hmm. but what's his name?
Yeah.
And you can see that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
He's you know, he's got a pretty high cap number, and he and Harbaugh arguing all the time. That's never good. So they're gonna have some issues there. They still need some. They still need a little bit of help on the offensive line. The kid that they drafted a couple years ago, they thought was gonna be pretty good, is never fucking active, which is weird. So they have some things to look at. So in my opinion, again, looking at it from the outside, I think they'd be fools to let Jackson go.
Well, he's not a long-term solution.
Why not?
You got to.
You thought he was a long-term solution before this whole contract thing came up?
I didn't.
If he was signed,
I didn't.
He would be your long-term solution.
I didn't.
But why not, though?
Because he gets injured. He puts himself in too much risk.
Before He's never gotten injured outside of the pocket. Never. So what risk is it? That's your mind's risk. When he was running for his life and the big dude came down on him in that Denver game, that was a pass play. He's running for his fucking life. You know? Well, and when he got hurt in the playoff game, he was in the pocket, he got hit, boom, concussion. You know? Last season, same thing. In the pocket. He's never gotten hurt outside of the pocket. Yeah, also, quarterbacks get hurt. You name one that hasn't been. Quick, do it. Quarterback got hurt that you say is a fake injury, but there was a high ankle sprain even in the game yesterday, right?
I mean, I can always throw out the Brett Favre.
Even
who was Mr. Iron Man.
Even Jalen Hurts was dealing with some sort of a shoulder. Fucking thing.
Yep.
Even up into the game yesterday. So quarterbacks get hurt. So I don't even... You just have to throw that out.
When I say he's prone to injury, Lamar is great when he can use his legs. If an injury hampers his legs in any way, he can't be I'll play hurt in the pocket type of guy.
He could if he had a living, breathing wide receiver to throw to.
So now we're talking about other aspects of it.
Now we're talking about that. It all has to work together.
Exactly. So, long-term solution, he's in his prime right now.
You're crazy.
He's in his prime right now.
It's not his prime. He's still working his way up. He's only 25.
How long are we going to let him get beat up before he's not
able to perform? I don't know. How long are you going to ignore the offensive line? How long are you going to call bullshit plays? How long are you going to keep blocking the defensive end with your third string tight end?
Again, GM, I would focus on the line. And my defense, I don't give a shit. All these, you can't hit the running back or wide receiver too hard. My team would be, I would be like, hey, I'm a billionaire. Don't worry about it. I'm going to front all the fines and penalties. We're going to bring back, like, people are going to be afraid to catch the ball across the middle in Baltimore.
Well, that's the thing. They legislated all that out of the game. So it can't happen, which sucks.
It's a different game.
It is a different game. So in that respect, you have to adjust to it, right? And adjusting to it is not having friggin' Mark Andrews split wide as your
wide receiver.
Primary option wide receiver. That's just, come on. He needs to be inside the numbers,
hey,
causing havoc over the middle, like Kelsey last night. Hmm?
Goddard. Or Geodirt. Yeah.
But that's it. That's it for episode 58. So far, we understand that the fix is in.
The fix is in.
And Lamar Jackson is not the long-term option for the Ravens. That's what we got from Handsome Shrek.
Well, it's easy as this. And I said this to my wife yesterday. I was like, so we're going to watch this game. And if I believe that the NFL was Hollywood, what I would do is I would have a story about how you have one quarterback who's going to be in the process of becoming one of the greats, Pat Mahomes, dealing with a high ankle sprain. You have a team with Hurts, who has one of the greatest starts to like every single game out of any the history of the league for any team. They're going to come out firing. You're going to watch Philly dominate the entire game, go up big. And this is what I said to her. They're going to go up big. Didn't even realize it was going to be as close as it was.
You wrote the story, huh?
I wrote the script. I was like, they're going to go up big. And there's going to be something happens where, oh, here comes Mahomes. He's battling his injury and takes Kansas City, puts them on their back, and takes them to victory in the most dramatic upset and comeback in Super Bowl history. It's like, I'm sorry, they had to lean too heavily on the referees to make that comeback happen, and too much of the conditions on the field to make it seem even.
But so the refs did it, the field did it, everybody did it.
I mean,
and Hollywood wrote it.
Hollywood wrote it, man. I'm telling you, Philly did the best that they could. They understood. They were like, Philly's like, dude, we got to win one for our city. Even though they're telling us that they wrote the script just like WWE, hey, you guys are going to lose. Let's go out there and try to beat the script. And they did that by trying to stay on the field for 80% of the game.
I love it. Well, that's all we got. We'll be back. We'll try to make this a little bit more than every 8 months we do a podcast.
Well, you look, I mean, at least we do a podcast more often than Dallas sees a Super Bowl.
Oh, now that right there, that hurts my feelings. Well, so I'm going to tell everyone, good night.
Good night.